If you're just visiting with us tonight, know that on Wednesday night is kind of our informal night. And it's kind of the night that we're taking to inspire our lives in the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful things that the Lord can do in our lives by having the Holy Spirit in us. And so I just really, really want to God to inspire us to move forward into much more, everybody say more spiritual. More spiritual life. Now, we've talked about that as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there can be some things that be expected. So that's why I'm talking on Wednesday night. We're just going through some things. We're a little bit covering the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm just talking about things that I have noticed, really, and I've seen in my life and seen in others' lives and seen in your life that's happened. As you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can expect God to move you into a higher realm of knowledge. So just expect that. There's going to be moments and times where God's going to drop things into your heart that you had no way of knowing. Lanny, we were just talking about that, about what happened with Zach yesterday, how you said, I could sense something out, I think you said even a week out of that. And so you can expect that. You can expect the Holy Spirit to drop some knowledge. So be looking at it. Everybody say, I'm going to be aware. I tell you, when you realize that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're not a mere man or a mere person anymore. In fact, I have just a few scriptures I want to give us on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. Isn't it terrible when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you so want to talk to other Christians in a spiritual manner and you can't? Isn't that just, that's almost like, you know, it's almost like German trying to be understood by French. I mean, it's like two different languages. And it's what he's talking about here. It said, I, brethren, I could not speak to you like a spiritual people. And it said, but as to carnal, as to babes, I had to talk to you natural, what he said. I had to talk to you like the world does. I couldn't talk to you about things of the Spirit. And then Paul said here, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, what he said, to receive spiritual food. For you're yet carnal. Paul says the reason for that, because you're too much in the world. He said the reason that I can't talk to you spiritually is because you're too much in the world. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, said, are you not carnal? And then this statement that just rings in my heart so often, and behaving like mere men. And I want you to know that that's the way it is. A lot of times we're behaving, thinking, talking like mere men. And God has offered to us such a higher level. A higher level of talking, a higher level of thinking. Living on a consistent basis with aware of the other realm. Do you know the world can't do that? When they were reading, they're talking about your weather, because that's all they know. They're not aware of this other realm. But what you want to do in everything that you're faced with every conversation you have, with everything that you come in contact with, you want to give reverence to the Holy Spirit by thinking about it. I wonder what the other realm, I wonder what God is feeling about this. Live everything you do, Todd, whether we saw on a board or whether we have to live with this tremendous awareness that there is another realm that we're more contacted to than we are the realm of the natural. I mean, you can't handle fusses and fights. You can't handle anything like a mere man anymore. I mean, how does a spiritual man fight? I don't know. But you can't handle life. You got to always be aware. Everybody say, be aware. And if you want to grow spiritually close to the Lord, you use the discipline, the strength of discipline, which is the fruit of the Spirit. You use the strength of discipline to always make yourself aware and think about the other realm. Whatever it is, from checking out at Brookshire's or checking out at Walmart or checking out the dollar store, wherever, whatever it is, making yourself aware. And always there is this other realm. Amen? And it's really the flesh versus the spirit, and we truly, we're not mere man. See, if you are aware of that other realm, then you know that the things that you see, they were not only created, but they're controlled by the things you don't see. Then all of a sudden, what you see takes on a totally different meaning to you. When you realize that everything that you see is created and controlled by a higher realm, then it causes us not to live life like a mere person. We're always, when a believer sees a catastrophe, when you're driving along and you see an ambulance, you got to always know that's not on us. Out of all the people that may come along and see that, you're the one that's connected to a higher realm.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Certain things go into place at that time that you know that in the name of Jesus, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
And you know that whatever you shall ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He will do it for you. See, as you're coming aware, you don't see anything or face anything on the eyeball level. Everything that you face or see or brought in contact with, you face it with the awareness that there's other realm, and there's so much power in this other realm. There's so much authority in this other realm. I mean, there's so much available in this other realm. Sometimes people, you just look at your paycheck and you say, wow, that's what it is. There's another realm. And there's another power source. And there is a another source to life.
Amen.
And we can live life in that way. Amen? And then it says in John 7, it says, stop judging by mere appearance. Stop looking at things. It says those words. Stop judging by mere appearance. John chapter 7 tells us not to judge by mere appearance. But it tells us how to judge. That very scripture tells us how to judge. It says, but judge correctly.
Amen.
The only way you can judge anything correctly is to have God's judgment upon that thing. It's the only way. You don't know when God's fixing to write somebody off. You understand? In our eyeball to eyeball, we're ready to write off about 90% of the people we know. But you see, when you face life and deal with life connected to a higher awareness, a higher realm, it causes you not to laugh at some of the things that the world may laugh at. It causes you to think differently. It doesn't put a finger of pointing. It brings a compassionate heart out of you. I mean, it's just so much. It's a higher realm. It's a higher way to do life. And what you have to start doing, you have to start with the fruit of the Spirit of discipline. And you start disciplining yourself to bring your attention into that awareness to where you're able then to face everything in life with that awareness. It doesn't start off there. You start off just when you think about it. You're trying to get it working there. But the more you discipline yourself through the fruit of the Spirit, the more then you become connected toward there. And what we're wanting to do, be able to do, is be connected without ceasing. The Bible calls pray without ceasing or communicate without ceasing. God wants to bring us into this realm to where we're always connected to God. And God is always connected to us. And so it starts off, where you are or where you can. But don't give up. And a sure way to know that you're not living with proper awareness all the time. It's when you're faced with this disappointment, when something makes you mad, or when something can make you deeply sad, when something depresses you. It, that also, those are all conditions that's associated to this level and not associated to the higher level. So anytime that happens, it tells you you're just not handling life right. You're not handling life the way God wants to handle it. Now, Lane will probably want to tell you how many times I get mad, but don't listen to her. She lies a lot. No, because every one of us are working here. And every one of us, is what I want to say, every one of us are working to be more controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the only control that the Holy Spirit has, because if the Holy Spirit's going to control anything, it's a yielding. It's never a what we would call a control. He's not a dictator. We yield to Him. So the only way you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit is to be aware. So to be consciously aware that that the Holy Spirit then is dealing and working there. All right, praise God. Now, it says, stop judging by mere appearance. This scripture, it kind of went off to me and along with this same line. It says in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, says, if racing against mere men, who are you racing against? If racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against real things? Or it says real horses is what this version says. If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets or if you get near the Jordan? I mean, Lord, if mere men are getting us down, how are we ever going to be able to contend with forces of darkness is what it's saying. How are we going to ever be able? And I want to tell you what, your problems are not caused by God. They are caused from the forces of darkness. The men is in between those. And if you're letting the in-between section get your life, you're never, ever going to be able to really fight against the things that really are destroying your life. So it's to be able to live life in a different way. You got to handle this level before you're going to ever handle this level. That's why, you know, I mean, most believers get upset with other believers. I just want to sit in and say, why does that bother you? I mean, is God not in control of your life? If you're not believing God to work out impossibilities, I mean, why does that bother you? How can somebody get your goat? You don't have a goat. I told you you can't believe what she says, didn't I? Didn't I? I told you you quit listening to her. Well, I fell right into that one. All right. That one's here, man. All right. We're going to talk about, just for a few minutes tonight, we're going to talk about seeing. We've talked about knowing that the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God can bring you to a higher level of knowing. And it's just real important for you to be able to come into that, because the Lord wants to let you know some things about people, because God needs some prayer warriors and God needs some people to turn around some things in prayer. And until God can begin to reveal His secrets to you, then you won't be able to use His mysteries. And so we have to come to a place to where we can recognize that and just be aware of that. And just be aware and let the Lord start off with something, revealing something to you mighty small and insignificant, so He, when He desires, He can reveal something to you significant that will really make a difference. And then we talked about, not only in the knowing realm, we talked about in the area of feeling. Now, the area of feeling is, see, what happens is, when you were born the first time into this world, God gave most of you a mother. God didn't give you a mother, you couldn't be here, right? Because God gave you a mother, and that mother's job was to take you and teach you as a baby how to relate to the world. That's what the mother's job was. It was to take you and to teach you and to train you how to relate to the world. Well, when you're saved, you're born again. And the Holy Spirit was given to you to teach you and train you on how to relate to the heavenly world. And it's the same exact way. And just the same way as a baby that you were not aware and your mother helped you be aware. She helped you to learn the thing to watch for and the things to stay away from the thing. All right, now that you're born again, the Holy Spirit now becomes that nurturer in your life. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. And I just felt this so strong about our four service night. And to let you know that you're individual with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes you on as His individual project if there's no other project that He has in all the world. And the Holy Spirit is to bring you into a place where you can relate to and understand spiritual things. And he teaches you how to operate in this higher knowledge, how to operate in a God-knowing knowledge and not a world, just a world-knowing knowledge. Then he wants to teach you how to feel. And in this area of feeling, the Holy Spirit wants to be able to prompt you. And then he wants to be able to restrain you. Both of those areas are vitally important. Just as a mother does. A mother prompts her kids to go play, but if she sees a snake, she restrains them. You understand? So the Holy Spirit wants to do that. The Holy Spirit wants to help you to know when to move and become vitally aware of what you're feeling. We call it feelings, for lack of a better word. The King James calls it sensing. What you sense. It doesn't call it feeling. What you sense on the inside. What you sense on, is a higher level. It's a higher level than feeling. But it comes by way of a sense of feeling. And the Holy Spirit will let you. And we talked a little bit last week about the red light and green lights that God. And if there's anything that's going to protect you in life, it's going to be you learning to detect when God's given you a red light of halt and God's given you a green light to move forward. And that is one of the greatest protections that God has for you. And it's about, but not only that, you got to be able to go, and then the Lord deals with your senses and your feelings in even much deeper realms. The Holy Spirit, if you will let Him, He'll make you an intercessor. Most of you don't have any idea what an intercessor is. An intercessor is when the Holy Spirit comes in and links into your body and begins to intercede. Usually we pray, and it's scriptural to pray, but only the Holy Spirit can help you intercede. Because what happens in intercession, the Holy Spirit comes in your spirit and begins to intercede through you, because the Holy Spirit needs a mouth on earth. The Holy Spirit needs a mouth. It's the Word. Remember, God uses the Word to bring about creation and to bring change. So the Holy Spirit needs your mouth. And so as you move more into the realm of sensing and feeling with God, He's trying deeply to bring you into a position of intercessor. So when the Holy Spirit is wanting to pray for something, things you have no knowledge of, things we would never, ever even understand if we had the knowledge. The Holy Spirit, though, through sensing, He can move in you and you become His mouth. Many of you have had examples of walking along the street corner, along a sidewalk, and all of a sudden you meet somebody, and then immediately it would be like a sadness and a tearness, or either a real compassion will come on. That's the beginning of intercession. You will, and when the Holy Spirit, whatever you are, when you're with people, around people, it doesn't have to be with people. Sometimes it's most noticeable when it's with people. Then you will just be, and maybe everybody's laughing, but there'll be a tremendous sense of deep sadness in you, and there's no logical reason for it. And a lot of people just throwing off, well, I'm just sad, or I'm just... No, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit's teaching you to operate in a much higher area and a much higher realm. And he's looking for a mouth. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a compassion. He's looking for a cure. I believe a person that learns to sense and feel the depths of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, deep crieth out to deep. When they do that, then there has to be no alarm that you're not aware of. What I mean that, there's nothing you have to be afraid of that the Holy Spirit, that you can't sense when the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit knows there's something that needs to be taken care of, you will sense it. But you can't do that starting out. But when you're developed, and then it goes in from intercession to birthing. And all that comes in through this realm of sensing, learning to feel the Holy Spirit. It goes from a point of intercession to a point of birthing. There's some things that God wants birthed in this world. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and puts it in your womb, and God wants it to bring forth birth. And some of you that have been an intercessor for a number of years, you know you've experienced this so many times. I mean, literally, at those moments, there's no logical reason for it. You'll find yourself off into a corner somewhere, just bent over with tremendous tears and gushings, and the sense of birth coming. And I'm a guy, so I have no physical sensation there, all right? But in the Spirit, God has used me many a time to bring birth to things. But that's all in this arena of feeling. All right, let's close. I want to close it. I got 10 minutes. I want to close by moving into it, because we could stay on this level so long. Because this arena of feeling and sensing, intercessions involved, birthing is involved. I mean, so much is involved there. But I just want to really encourage you. You must learn to feel or sense the Holy Spirit. And the easiest place for it to start with is to start with sensing red light, green light. Sense that. Well, one of the easiest ways to begin to hear the Holy Spirit is ask the Holy Spirit something that you know, that you already obviously know the answer to. And then listen in your spirit. For example, Jesus, do you love me? You know, I've asked the Lord that for 40 years. I love it every time I do. And for 40 years, He's never one time failed to give me an answer back.
Amen.
And He knows I know it. And I know He knows it. And He just loves to tell me again and again and again. But if you want to develop a keenness of hearing the Holy Spirit, and then ask the Holy Spirit obvious spiritual things that you already know the answer to, and listen in your spirit, and just keep listening. I mean, I tell you what, our ears have to be cleaned out sometimes. You know, I mean, really? I mean, I broke one of the glasses on the fun center yesterday. I admit it. I've been blaming it on Todd all day, but I admit it. I did it. I was up there with a nail gun, and I was shooting the other way, and it went in, hit a nail, and turned, and broke it. For about 15 minutes later, they kept saying, "You hear that?" They could just hear that glass crack, still continually cracking. I didn't hear nothing. You know, I didn't hear nothing. In the morning, Larry, I was supposed to have an appointment to see about my hearing. So, but a lot of times, the Holy Spirit has to adjust our hearing. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of us may need a spiritual hearing aid. Do you understand? But we learn to build it. So let's close by talking about, I want to begin just talking about not only feeling, but seeing. I want to talk about seeing. You have to develop the Holy Spirit's power to help you see. Because there is a whole nother world that God wants you to see. The Bible says that right here tonight, I see Greg, I see Brother Merle. And who's that girl you sitting by out there? I see these obvious ones. But the Bible says there is a multitude of angels is in this place right here.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, at some of your weakest moments, it can make some of your strongest moments if you can just get a glimpse into that other realm.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is able to do that. When we talk about entering into the realm of seeing, there's a whole world there. That's Dutch Sheets said, you remember, he said Saturday, that God was God's word to us here. I didn't know if that was just to Arkansas or to it. He said, but God was making seers. God was raising up seers. People that can see into the realm of the Spirit. Now, there's so many examples here. The first I ever remember happening of seeing, but I'm a seer. I see. Sometimes I see more than I hear. That's why PowerPoints are so important to me, because I don't think anybody can know anything unless you see it. That's why it's important to me. But after I was saved, or even prior to the time I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I used to go in after we had, my life was totally committed. Elaine and I was totally committed to God. We was already cast out as renegade and weird and off in some kind of wild Lulu land, because we were sold out, left jobs, homes, everything we had to follow God. Lived in a park, slept in our car. We didn't care. We just felt God. Right from the beginning, though, we could feel. No one ever taught us that, Don. People have to teach you against that. The miraculous is something we're born again believing.
Amen. Amen.
And unless we're taught against it, we believe it. We believe in that realm of miraculous. So we were already doing all of that, involved in living for God with all of our heart. But I had a daddy issue. I didn't know that's what was happening because that I lived in the same town with my dad, and I hardly don't remember three words he ever said to me. Yes, I do. I remember five words, I think I do. And it just and developed a hardness in me, and I found out many years later that I was one wrong. but it developed such a hardness in me. God knew that I couldn't survive with that hardness. And so what happened was I was attending this church. Every time I walk into this church, this is what I see. Elaine and I, we hadn't been saved a long, long time, and I wasn't in any way called to the ministry. But I would go to the front, Elaine and I would go to the front pew, because we thought that's the only place you fit, man. We'd go to the front pew and we would sit there. Every time. I would see Jesus. Jesus would walk into that building. His shoulders, it's a miracle. When you begin to see things in the Spirit, you can't explain them. It's like trying to explain the book of Revelations. Or it's trying to explain what Jesus was a seer. People came back bragging how they had power over demons. And Jesus said, let me tell you what I saw. I saw Lucifer fall from heaven. He was a seer. He saw Nathaniel underneath the tree. He saw, let me tell you, a real weird one that Jesus saw. Jesus saw who everybody else thought was dead. Jesus stood on mountains and talked to Moses and Elijah. I mean, that's a seer. That's a seer. You understand? That's somebody that's got spiritual eyes, man. Remember the two tests? Is it scriptural? And is it in the life of Jesus? So Jesus saw. He saw. He could see so much. Well, every time I'd walk into a church, I'd see Jesus. This happened service after service. I was sitting in front pew, laying somebody. Jesus would walk in. I can't tell you a message that preacher preached. I can't tell you anything about that at all. Jesus would walk into that service, and he's coming. His shoulders would be about the even with the top of the building. He would come every time, and he would stand right in front of me. He would reach down his arms, and he would pick me up. I would spend the rest of that service cradled in the arms of Jesus. Jesus was taking a little guy that had no idea of a father's love. And he said, I'm going to cause you to know a father's love. He helped me service after service after service. I couldn't hardly stand for the service to get over. Because when the service got over, he'd put me down and he'd walk away again. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He was doing something in my heart I could not do. He was doing a healing in me I could not do. And then it goes into the realm of the sweetness, and then it goes into the realm of the hardness. I've literally watched people's faces turn into animals. And I've watched the demonic side of that too. Elaine can usually, she's a seer. She can usually always tell what spirit's fighting a person because their face becomes that. Let me tell you, it was me. I can't tell the difference in the physical at times. But I was standing in front of a lady one time, and her head literally turned into a pig. And literally, I was trying to pray for her, and she was trying to bite my fingers. I stood in one prayer line one time. I was praying for the people down, and literally, a wolf. A man that was standing there before me, his whole head became a wolf. I later found out that he was so deep into homosexuality and so deep into other perversions. And so God will let you see things. I mean, spiritual things, demonic things, warning things. But so many times God will cause you to see a warning thing. And what you need to do, you need to just ask the Lord. One of the easiest things to say, I always saw glimpses of angels. I don't know how many times I walk into this service. Now, they see tongues of fire on the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost. What I see is flashes of light. A lot of times I'll walk into this service and I'll be waiting. A lot of times I'm worshiping and waiting, and I'll look right over in here and I'll see flashes of light as the Holy Spirit begins to move in it there. And so the Lord, God don't want you to have my experiences. But God wants to give you your own experiences. Now, I have physically entertained angels. Lane and I have. At least one occasion in my life, I physically touched an angel. Now, that was physical. That was not spiritual. That was a the Bible says we entertain angels unaware. So at least one time in my life, I've touched. But that's not that arena. But almost any time, I can see an angel. That's why when things try to bother you, bother me, it don't. Almost any time I can see an angel. Now, I don't see like an angel stand before me, but I get a glimpse of an angel all the time. Sometimes I just see his wing. Sometimes I can just see, and I know that's a cherubim, that's a protective care of God that's over me. But I'm going to tell you what, just the same it did for John, it would change your life. Yes. When you begin to see things in the realm of the Spirit, it will begin to change your life. Because you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is another realm right there. Right there. So Lord, we thank you as we come to the close of the moment, Lord. Lord, not only do you help us know things, precious Holy Spirit, but Lord, you help us feel things. You're making intercessors out of us, and people to feel what you feel, and people to sense what you sense. And then, Lord, you're making us seers, causing us to be able to see things that will be used in your kingdom to allow you to be greater Lord in our lives. Would you just ask the Lord, look back with me just a quick moment. It's the difference between fear and faith. The servant said, Lord, when he was talking to, was it Elisha? Said, we're surrounded. We're surrounded. Immediate fear. Elisha prayed. Lord, open up his eyes. And all of a sudden, he could see the field, the hills were full of the chariots of God. Fear to faith in a moment of sight. Fear to faith in a moment of sight. So I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray. I want you to, if you would like the Lord to open up your eyes, then I want you to ask the Lord to do that. And God will begin to let you see. He knows where your faith is. God will begin to let you see things that you can handle. And then God will begin to build it more and more. I tell you, it's one of the greatest. The people, when they talk about serving God boring, I tell you, it's never boring. Man, the Holy Spirit carries you into all of these deeper, 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 beautiful realms. It never gets boring. Wow. So Holy Spirit, we ask you right here tonight, Lord. People that desire to see things in the Spirit. The Bible said, Lord, that you're a revealer of secrets. So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would reveal. Michelle, did we get that list? Okay. Lord, that you would reveal. Open up our eyes to see you, God. Open up our eyes that we can see, Lord, that we can see into the realm of the Spirit, God. Lord, open up our eyes to see, Lord. See, God, in Jesus' name.